Hey, it's Aaron Hogan, Genesis Driver, encouraging you to experience the difference between ordinary and extraordinary by discovering the Genesis GV70. That Genesis of Round Rock, bold design, advanced technology, and refined power redefines what modern luxury should feel like. And this month, you can enjoy low APR financing. How about 1.99% APR for up to 48 months on select 2026 Genesis GV70 models? Go see them at Genesis of Round Rock, 2201 North May Street, or explore your options online at genesisofroundrock.com. Luxury never looks so good. Welcome to Genesis.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Again, everyone, I'm Ed Clements, along with today Kyle Owen and Trey Campbell. Jeff is on vacation. He is supposed to arrive back in the capital city, or wherever he is. I mean, for all I know, he may have that staycation working. Supposed to be back on the air on Thursday, but we got the whole gang together to bring you all the latest in sports and fun stuff. Kyle, how are you? Good to see you. Kimo Sabi? I'm doing good today. Doing really good in there. And there's Trey Campbell on the other side. Hi, Trey. How are you there, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm just trying good. To get this headphone jack to work.
Trying to get the headphone jack to work. Is Kyle working okay? Is Kyle working okay?
Yeah, everybody's on. Everything's fine.
I don't hear Kyle. I don't. Is it my headphones? My goofy-ass headphones? It may be. All right, let's punch the right butt there. I hope Jeff's not listening. He's going to send me an email. Welcome to the show. And, man, it's been a busy, busy Tuesday again in the NFL. And it's been a busy Tuesday in college football. Let's start. First, I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a lot of college football. We have an absolute ton of pro football to talk about. And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk about golf. Tommy Morrison, the former Longhorn who won on the Korn Ferry Tour last Saturday in his only fourth start as a professional, he will join us from Ogden, Utah. He's playing in the Utah Championship this week and join us to talk about his early success, a meteoric rise. Jackson Colvin won on the PGA Tour. He and Tommy used to go head-to-head just a few months ago with the SEC. Colvin from Auburn, of course, Tommy from Texas. But now, both those young guys making their mark on the professional tour. And what Colvin did was simply amazing. Much like Tommy, got into the Korn Ferry Tour because of a great college career. And they both won last week. Pretty amazing. Tommy Morrison, the former Longhorn, at 5 o'clock here on 102.7 ESPN. Okay, let's start it off with some college football news. As we talked about yesterday, the Big Ten is having their media days this week, and a blockbuster story revealed this morning early on. Ohio State has signed a $17 million deal with J.P. Morgan Chase. $17 million a year for a patch on all 36 teams that play sports for Ohio State. $17 million for a patch from J.P. Morgan's new NCAA rules allows. Now, help me out with those on Kyle. They allow multiple patches.
So two patches per uniform, okay. And they have to be 4 square inches max.
Two per uniform.
Correct. And then one on equipment as well.
Okay.
So helmet or whatever.
So, and they, I know the SEC will have the SEC logo.
Correct.
And then you're allowed two. Texas has the Swoosh, mm-hmm. who makes their uniforms. I guess that would be considered one, possibly. I don't know. But they have the Swoosh. They have nothing else on their uniform. They've avoided commercializing their uniform. So Ohio State, one of the big players in the Big Ten, said, tradition out the window. $17 million for all 36 teams, J.P. Morgan Chase. Then, hours later, not too long ago, Notre Dame announced a deal with SoFi Technology, SoFi Stadium in L.A., SoFi everywhere. It's better than Ohio State's.
Mm-hmm.
$18 to $20 million deal with SoFi Technologies for a patch. 6-year deal for Notre Dame. And both institutions say there will be NIL opportunities for athletes. So this will be a big boost to the football program, but I can also see, of course, basketball teams will wear it. And I think it'll filter down to the best players in women's sports, too. Mm-hmm. But mostly, this is a football opportunity. So it is a huge, huge deal. Thoughts on that? Ohio State jumping in there at $17 million and Notre Dame $18 to $20
million? I know you have had the argument with Jeff in the past about commercializing the Texas uniforms due to history and all that stuff like that. Notre Dame being a team that still doesn't allow their names to be on the back of the jersey, but having a SoFi logo on it, I think is absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. Whatever, because Notre Dame is one of those schools that when you think about history, when you think about, you know, prominent uniforms, that Golden Dome, that navy blue, like that is something that is in etched in pretty much everyone's brain when you think about Notre Dame. You always know what they're going to wear. That's always the same. It always has been the same. And now they've got that SoFi patch, but yet still no players on the back.
Yeah, Penn State does that too. Still no names mm-hmm. on the back. And you know, it's a matter of keeping up with the Joneses, and I'm not talking about Jerry Jones. It's keeping up money wise. So I think this is going to be a trend. I was on the phone this morning with someone in the Longhorn world, and I said, "Hey, is this coming down the pike? Is this coming down the pike?" And they said, well, it would have to be an extraordinary deal to get UT to do that. Because Chris Del Conte, to his credit, for years has said, we're not going to monkey with the uniforms. Which I, as an older guy who love the traditions, don't monkey with it. Don't. And don't, you know, because I've always said, you need the road jersey, the white, icy whites, and then you need the home jersey with the burnt orange tops and the white pants and the Longhorn on the da-da-da-da. Don't mess with it. And he's upheld that because they don't have any of these alternative jerseys that seems like everybody and their dog, even your team, Kyle, if you follow closely, them fighting Texas A&M Aggies have alternate jerseys. Yeah.
Yeah, A&M, especially in the early 2010s, really kind of went off the wall with their alternate jerseys. The icy whites they wore against Mississippi State that have all the reflectors and stuff. They tried to do that like glow-in-the-dark helmet game that was supposed to be meant for a night game on Halloween, and they ended up playing at 11 a.m., so it never even worked. They did like some dark onyx uniforms against LSU one year.
Yeah.
And they, for a while there, they had the stripes on the shoulders that were supposed to resemble some uniforms from the 70s. But when I think about A&M, especially when I was growing up, it's, you know, the maroon helmet, the maroon top, the white bottoms, the black shoes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you wanted
classy,
to do.
Classy.
And then finally they reverted back to it, but now they're doing, you know, just the all blackout uniform. And I think that's pretty much the only, you know, alternative uniform they'll have. Besides, every once in a while they'll do like a throwback.
I will tell this story. I've told it before. My last visit with Daryl Royal, it was 3 days before he died. He was in the throngs of Alzheimer's. He was at the Corinthia where he lived with his wife Edith. They had just moved him to a room where it's intensive care for dementia and Alzheimer's patients. I went out there. Texas was playing at Texas Tech in an afternoon game, and I went out that morning to visit Coach, and he was agitated. He wasn't happy. He was, you know, his mind was not all there. Kept on asking, where's Edith? Where's Edith? And we sat down, and we did the, you know, post-game show afterward. I sat down with him to watch football, and we were watching the first game of the day. The 11 o'clock game was the Aggies at Mississippi State. And on that day, the Aggies were wearing black uniforms, and Mississippi State was wearing some type of white uniform. Mm-hmm. And Coach, we sat down, and Coach Roll said, who in the heck are we watching? I said, we're watching the Aggies are playing at Starkville today. He said, well, who's who?
Oh, yeah, because
who's who?
That was when they did the Snow Bowl, the Independence Bowl. It was like a little commemorative game, the first time they played each other since that Snow Bowl at the Independence Bowl back in the 90s.
So we're watching. He says, who are we watching? I said, the Aggies are black, wearing black, and Mississippi State's wearing white. He goes, the Aggies are wearing what? I said, they're wearing black today, Coach. He goes, blanking Aggies. Just laughed about it. And that was later. We left that game, and he was invited to a pickin' party upstairs at Carinthia with some singer, and they were going to have ice cream. He said, I don't want to watch this game. Let's go listen to some music. We go up there. We had a bowl of ice cream, listen to some music. And it was about time for kickoff for the Texas and Texas Tech game. I said, Coach, let's go watch the Longhorn game. He goes, nah, I'm not going to watch it. I like this girl's music. I'm staying here. You go ahead. It's the last time I saw him because he died 3 days later. But I'll never forget that. What are the Aggies wearing? And that just it just shows. And that's one thing, again, back on subject. Chris Del Conte's never wavered from that tradition. But I kind of have the feeling they may waver on this tradition this year with the patches because everybody's doing it. And what an easy money get to have a patch. Trey, your thoughts, you're a college football watcher. Your sport, one of your sports is soccer.
Yeah.
And good Lord in heaven, they're all over the soccer stuff.
Yeah, you've kind of become accustomed to it if you've watched soccer long enough. If you watch the Liga MX in Mexico, they have about 15 different sponsors on their jerseys.
Yeah, it looks like NASCAR, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm a big NASCAR fan, so sponsors don't really bother me that much. As long as they don't change sort of what makes the UT uniform
so,
what it is.
So special, yeah.
I could live with a patch on the shoulder.
I'll just say this. I could live with a patch, too.
I think so. I think that's something that UT will probably end up doing if they do end up buying a patch or getting a patch on their jersey. It'll be something where it's just a white name, so it doesn't stand out. Like, it's not going to be like Chase, the blue diamond or whatever that Chase has, that'll be on a red uniform for Ohio State, or the Monster Energy patch that's going to be bright green on all the Big 12 stuff.
Yeah,
it'll just be a white, just basic name.
I don't know. Maybe
I think that would be maybe something maybe they would probably end up doing.
Well, maybe the person who's forking over the 17 million at Ohio State and the 18 to 20 million at Notre Dame saying, we want this color and you'll like it.
Yeah.
I was thinking, who, if Texas did this, who would be the patch? And I said, I talked to a UT person today, said, well, they said it would be an extraordinary number if they did it. Then I talked to some people down at the Capitol, big UT people inside, and they said, oh, yeah, it's in the works, Ed. It's going to happen. We just don't know what it is. So
yeah.
I got a list of what would it be. I want to get you both guys' reaction. Will Texas have a patch? And I think the biggest one, and I think the most obvious one, and I think this dude can afford it because he's giving money away like crazy, and this is advertising, it would be Dell Computers. I can see Dell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Dell would be a good one. I think
it's Austin.
The Moody Group could also be a very good one because, I mean, their name's all over the town in general.
Right,
and so just putting their slapping their name on something else isn't going to hurt them.
Yeah.
I know Human is on the field.
Humana?
It's just Human.
It's Human.
Yeah, Human with two N's. But like,
well, the Moody Foundation, Moody may do that because I saw Ross Moody at Maudie's last week. Yeah, they may do that because they like to have their name. It could be. Okay, here's another one. Tesla.
That could be interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know
that would
if
be,
Elon's
yeah.
looking into the sphere of college football right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I don't know how many games Elon's is going to.
What about
it makes sense considering they're here.
But he's got a lot of kids, you know what I mean? He'll be on the field with McConaughey calling plays.
Yeah. What about Waymo?
Waymo, that's, yeah.
Or Uber, something.
Waymo, in that kind of a line with a California, Waymo.
I mean, it's...
I'm thinking Texas companies.
I got a pilot program in Austin, but you could think of, you know, Vrbo, VRBO.
They're here, headquartered here. That's good, VRBO. What about AT&T? They're everywhere.
Yeah. They sponsor Tech Stadium, right?
Not anymore.
Yeah. You weren't here last week when... It's
Galaxy.
Now, what is it?
I didn't hear about that.
It's Galaxy.
Galaxy
$75 million deal. Galaxy. AI data center or something. Mm-hmm. AT&T would be good. AT&T's all on the tour.
Maybe
stuff.
Yeti.
Oh, Yeti.
Oh.
There you go. They've got
Where's
the money.
Where's that damn bell? That's a good one.
They have a building in right around the
it's
the Regency, the Hyatt Regency, I think.
That's right on South Congress, right?
Yeah.
They already have the soccer team.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
But would they be able to fork over, which I believe would be $20 million or excess $20 million a year.
I think they could do it.
Yeah, they got a lot of money going around
right
now.
They sell a lot of coolers. That's
what about your Cassis Village Shell?
Cassis Village Shell. Now, that would be, you know, Cassis Village Shell or Dirty Martin's. You know what I mean?
Right.
El Patio.
Maybe Dirty Martin's.
Oh, H-E-B?
Yeah, H-E-B's one.
Wait a minute. H-E-B, big player, and say, okay, I got another one. What about Southwest Airlines?
That's a good one.
Interesting, yeah.
Frost Bank.
They're pretty big in
Frost
Dallas.
Frost Bank is a regional deal. I'm not sure that my friend Tim Crowley and the San Antonio boys want to fork over $20 million to be on the patch.
Yeah.
But then again, I think people are thinking.
Texas has the deal with UFCU, so I don't know if they're going to be able to stray away from another bank.
That's minor league.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
And nobody calls it UFCU. Everybody calls it baseball field.
It's still a partnership. It's still a partnership within the university.
Oh, I know.
So therefore, I don't know how they can do with other banks.
They can deal with UFCU.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But I think Frost is a little regional. What else did I put down? What else did you have down? Another Oracle?
Oh, yeah.
Based here in town?
That could be. I think he's probably a little bit more interested in Michigan
yeah.
Now.
Larry Ellison, you know, Jeff's friend. Yeah.
I don't know. This could very well work well into the college sphere. Bumble, the dating app that's based here in Austin.
That'd be funny.
I mean, they make
some
pretty
good. I'm Manning for Bumble.
Like a Ted Lasso when they put the banter on their jersey. That'd be funny.
I mean, it's an Austin-based company, and it would, you know, it sells numbers within the college sphere, so
yeah.
I think it would be, I mean, pretty good. And there's all these startup tech firms and stuff, too. Who knows?
You got to be careful with the startup tech firms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
You got to be really, because they had a tendency to, startup tech firms would spend all their money for parties on,
I mean, we've got
seed money.
Google and Apple campuses as well. They're around town.
But I think Exxon?
Valero.
I'd say Valero because of the proximity to.
D.R. Horton Home Builders, my friend Mark Winters, D.R. Horton, biggest home builder in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Headquartered in Texas.
Maybe Bud Light.
Bud Light. You can't have beer.
Yeah, I don't think
you can't have hooch.
On the jersey.
Can't have hooch, and you can't have gambling interests. Yeah. Or Dan Patrick will swoop down and get those jerseys off.
Yeah, Dan
take
Patrick.
Take off those jerseys. Yeah, take off those jerseys.
He's got a lot to worry about
right now,
and I'd imagine that would be his first thing on his agenda.
What if Texas would put Sharia law on their jerseys? He would go crazy.
And like in Arabic too.
Yeah. In Arabic, Sharia law. Oh my gosh, those Republicans over there would march to the Longhorn game. Stop the game.
So another thing I've seen, some universities are using their own like health facilities as their sponsor. So like UT, like, you know, UT MD Anderson or whatever.
Yeah.
That could be a good partnership with a jersey, because I mean, they're technically separate but the same entity, so you could work out a pretty good deal there, because I know Marshall's doing their own, and I think Michigan State, too.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. So that's the big news. Again, recapping that money news from college football, and it will go, some of it will go directly to name, image, likeness, and which is wow. And I guess you'll see Ohio State players talking about J.P. Morgan Chase and doing commercials or videos or Instagram or whatever, and then the Notre Dame guys for SoFi Technologies. So
they're also banked too. So
yeah,
they do banking and stuff like that. I think one of the big thing about SoFi's deal with Notre Dame is the fact that they're going to be doing like financial literacy classes and getting people to getting the players to take part their app.
Well, I hope the financial literacy classes are for the football team. Well,
correct.
If you're a regular student in Notre Dame, I dare say you probably don't need a financial literacy test if you're at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure their dads know how to do that for them.
I think they know how to do that, too. All right, when we come back, Big Ten Media Days, we'll talk about the preseason polls still to come today. A lot of stories about quarterbacks in the National Football League, and bad behavior is paying off for a certain Philadelphia Eagle today. And news from camps. Cowboys, Jerry World, all the guys today. We're going to try to find some tape of that later as well. Jerry Jones as the Cowboys open camp. That guy. All right. Much, much more. 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. Check out the podcast page at 1027ESPN.com. Now back to the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hey, back on the show. I'm Ed Clements along with Kyle Owen and Trey Campbell on this Tuesday afternoon. Jeff will be back on Thursday. This is the time of the year when you have the Big Ten Media Days. Last week we had the SEC Media Days, ACC, and the other conferences. So this is a time to conferences to really boast about themselves, be proud about themselves, unleash a lot of Bravo Sierra about themselves. We saw that last week, and most of the nomination with Greg Sankey of the SEC, and we heard this in his interview with Trey Elling, was talking about, are you going to support the college football bill that Ted Cruz is proposing? He said, no, we're not going to do that right now. And that's a bit of irony because this is a Texas senator who's working bipartisan to try to do some stuff for college football, but it's not a good deal for the University of Texas, not a good deal for the fight in Texas A&M Aggies, so they said no. And the Big Ten has not signed on this either, so I think it's a little bit of a specious bill if the two biggest, most viable, dominant conferences don't sign off on this. And today in Chicago, the story talks about the Big Ten commissioner, Tony Tony Petitti, standing with the three consecutive national trophies and talking about the dominance of the Big Ten Conference. They've won the last three national championships. They've won four college football games in a row directly against the SEC, which hasn't had a team play for the conference title in the past 3 years. We've seen the Texas Longhorns get ousted by Washington, get ousted by Ohio State. The Aggies got ousted by Miami, not in the Big Ten, but a very, very good team. And Tony Petitti was flexing his muscles today where he had some comments about the Big Ten Conference.
CFP, unless they've played and have them be successful, which we have been very successful, if they're not going through a gauntlet in the regular season. You know, this idea that the middle of our conference isn't hard is just not right. Like, at the end of the day, our teams are ready for the CFP. Our travel looks like the CFP travel. You're going all over the country. How we play, the difficulty in the road in the Big Ten, I just think that's overlooked. The reason why we've been so successful is our teams are prepared. You know, when the best teams in any given season play each other, that's great. That prepares them. But you also get through a lot of really difficult games. You cannot just be ready to go play in the postseason after you think you've played something easy. It just doesn't happen. And so I think that's kind of something that gets overlooked in our league. We have a really difficult league. It's tough to win on the road in the Big Ten for even the best teams.
Come on there, easy there, Tony. Listen, the SEC has some cyclical teams, some doormat teams like the Kentuckys and the Mississippi States, and now Arkansas, tain't no good. But I tell you what, in looking at the lower half of the Big Ten right now, and I don't know if you guys believe this or not, you got some really bad teams in the Big Ten. I give you Purdue. Purdue should not be playing football. Purdue was the last time they were good, fellas. Remember this? The man they called Drew Brees. Drew Brees and the old legendary late quarterback, late coach Joe Tiller.
Yeah, R.I.P. Joe Tiller.
R.I.P. Joe Tiller. Went to a Rose Bowl. They were good back then, but they're terrible. Gut-rotten awful in football. Rutgers from Piscataway, New Jersey. They're no good in football. No good at all. Remember when Texas played at Rutgers many years ago? Remember he was on the sidelines for Rutgers? Tony Soprano, baby. James Gandolfini was on the...
They made a commercial about that.
James Gandolfini was at the game.
Schiano.
And Greg Schiano, yeah. So, no, Rutgers is no good. Michigan State has taken a precipitous fall. I'm old enough to remember when Michigan State was always good.
Yeah.
And they'd have some hellacious games with Michigan, but boy, have they fallen off the map. I don't mean to pick on the Big Ten, but I'm going to. Maryland ain't no good.
Nope.
No good.
Except for the two times they beat Texas.
I know, that was the Tom Herman first game, I guess, and then the next year. Yeah, that was bizarre. That rainy game up there in Landover. Maryland's no good. Northwestern, I'm sorry. They're fun to watch. It's a great story.
New stadium.
Yeah, new stadium. Why they do that, I'll never know. I went to their old stadium 30 years ago. Wonderful old, right on campus. Yeah. Gee, it was good. Nobody was there. Northwestern's not any good. UCLA, we talked about this yesterday when you were gone, Trey. UCLA has been no good for a while. Just awful for a while. But they've had like an infusion of $41 million from alumni.
And they got that Holy Cross coach.
Is it Holy Cross or the James Madison?
James Madison, yeah.
James Madison. I think
he used to be it. I think he moved.
Was he at Holy Cross before?
From,
Well, they're going to be, I think, if they spend that wisely, they may be back.
I think they could make a run that we see. I don't know if they'll be like Indiana, but I think they're doing the Indiana model.
They are. That's six teams who are rotten. I give you another team that's been so disappointing the last few years. Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a team, when Barry Alvarez was coach, they'd go to the Rose Bowl. They were fun to watch. Tough ass teams.
Yeah.
They were good.
They're probably going to fire Luke Fickle.
Yeah, and
his last year.
He was a hot commodity.
He got Cincinnati to the playoffs.
Sure, he was a hot commodity.
He should have went to USC.
He should have gone someplace else. Yeah, well, you say that, but hey, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Madison, Wisconsin. What a college town.
It is nice.
What a college town.
I heard.
There's a bar and a pizza joint everywhere. All over town. It's a state capital, much like Austin. It's Austin 45 years ago.
Yeah.
Big lake right by campus. That's the good thing. The only bad thing is check back with me at Halloween night when it starts snowing, and it will snow through March. That's the only bad deal. Wisconsin, I wish they were better. Camp Randall, that's a heck of a place to watch a football. I remember watching a football game. I watched it on TV, and they got that stomp or whatever they do.
The jump around.
Here's the most disappointing team of the last 25 years in college football to me.
Yeah.
The Children of the Corn, Nebraska.
Man.
You think
they got stuff going. They got Matt Rhule as the head coach. They got Raiola as their quarterback, and everything is just falling apart.
Yeah. They still have sellouts since Moby Dick was a minnow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is there to do?
There's nothing else to do. There's no pro sports in Nebraska. They sell out that stadium, but you guys are too young to remember. Oh, my Lord. Nebraska used to be great year after year after year with the old man Bob Devaney. Then they had Tom Osborne. Then they've had a cavalcade of other coaches. You know, the last time they were relevant to me was when Colt McCoy broke their heart.
The last Big 12 championship before the shakeout, whenever they went to the Big 10 and Colorado went to the Pac-12 and
were
all that.
Were those the Bo Pelini era?
Bo Pelini. And that guy was a lunatic.
Yeah, he was crazy.
He was a crazy man. And that's when, remember that game, fellas, when Longhorns were going for the last field goal and Colt threw it out of bounds. And when you
time on the clock.
When you throw it out of bounds, the ball has to hit something.
Yeah.
It has to hit something. And Nebraska and Ndamukong Suh, who was just dominating game. Yeah. He was so good. They thought they had won, and Pelini's out there doing cartwheels, and not so fast. I was about to do the postgame show on KLBJ, and I'm sitting from me to Kyle from the replay booth with the old guy, replay guys. And they looked and they looked and they looked and they looked, and they have to determine when the ball hit something, when he threw it out of bounds to stop the clock. And boom, it hit something. I forgot what it hit, maybe the side there at Jerry World. 1.4 seconds left.
Yeah.
Boom. Texas kicks a field goal and goes and wins that game.
I was actually at a soccer tournament. We were staying at a hotel out of town, and the whole team was watching that game. It was absolutely insane. I actually still have the newspaper, the front page from after that game when Texas won it. It's like me and my brother did a little time capsule in like 2010, and so it's in there.
Yeah. And the last team I want to bring up, great state, great place to go in the summertime. They've had some controversies with their state government and with dealing with ICE. That's Minnesota, the Golden Gophers.
Yeah.
Minnesota, in my lifetime, has never been really good.
They were really good in, way back when.
Way back when.
They've got a few national championships, I think even before A&M's national championship.
And they still got that head coach who wears the tie, the little tie and stuff.
PJ Fleck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
didn't they beat Ohio State at one point?
They might have, but That team, so you got Minnesota, Nebraska, Wisconsin, UCLA, Northwestern, Maryland, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Purdue are just afterthoughts.
Minnesota's middle of the road. They're like a 5-4 team.
Middle to late. Yeah. And then it starts getting better. And let's talk about the Big Ten preseason poll, because I think they're nine teams that are good. Mm. That are good. They have some elite teams, but according to the media, the preseason media poll, top nine list, I'll say. Number one is the team we'll see at DKR in early September. Ohio State got 15 first place votes. They are number one in the conference. They got a lot of players coming back. They've got Ryan Day, a veteran coach. They've got two former NFL coaches who are coordinators. We talked about Arthur Smith last week, mm-hmm. who used to be the Falcons head coach. He was an offensive coordinator for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers this past year with Aaron Rodgers. And then Matt Patricia, the goofball defensive guru who used to work for Belichick as an assistant, so successful, flamed out as a head coach. Ohio State's very, very good.
Yeah. They got Bo Jackson to come back and play for him.
The Bo Jackson. It's a different Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that guy.
Yeah. Ohio State, I think, is the best in that conference. Maybe not by a long shot, but I think they're a clear favorite because I think Georgia is a clear favorite in the SEC. Yeah. Number two in the Big Ten preseason poll, the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
Mysterious team of Dan Lanning.
Right. It's always felt like Oregon has been – they're always seem to be right there, but just never can, like, get over that hump. It's always been, you know, one and done in the playoffs – or can't win the Big Ten championship game. Or when they beat Ohio State a couple years ago, and then Ohio State turned around in the playoffs and absolutely boat raced them.
Crushed them.
It's one of those teams that just can't get over the hump.
Yeah, and they're predicted number two. They got 11 first place votes. At number three in the Big Ten preseason poll was Indiana, the defending national champion of Kirk Cignetti. They got 5 first place votes. They got to replace their quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, who's now shooting crap out in Vegas. They've got Josh Hoover, who was the TCU quarterback, gunslinger. The guy is really good. He kind of trailed off at the end of the year. He cost TCU some games last year with untimely interceptions and fumbles, but I like Josh Hoover. And he comes from a very good system of Sonny Dykes. So they have Indiana number three. Number four is the mystery team. We just saw him on TV here in our studio. Lincoln Riley and USC. I think college football is better when USC is really, really good. And I know there are a ton of USC haters out there. I know a lot of you hate USC because, you know, loyal to the Longhorns, yada-da-da-da-da, when they beat him in the national title game. But I think if USC's better, the whole college football better. Who knows about Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, he hasn't really shown much of anything the past few years. He's had so much, you know, hype before the season. It's funny that people are continuously giving them the hype, but every single year, year after year, they're not doing anything with it. I mean, they might be a top 25 team, but they are probably 25, 26, 27 every single year, and they're not in the playoff conversation. They haven't been ever. I don't think they've ever been to the playoffs.
No. He really wasted Caleb Williams.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did because they were 9-4 last year. But
their defense was horrible.
That's it. He's in the Mike Leach, guys.
Yeah.
They don't play defense a lot of time. God bless Mike Leach. And a lot of his disciples don't put a premium on defense. They don't. Look down the line. They don't. And Lincoln Riley, who escaped the posse in Norman. I think he had maybe some marital problems or something. But he took the big casino and went to Los Angeles and has done absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. What does their football schedule look like, Ron?
I know they have – well, no, they don't have Notre Dame this year. Notre Dame took them off their schedule.
That's crazy. You got to have that game.
And they took – they're not on the schedule. Let me look this because
they always played. That's weird.
This didn't help them at all as they have gone to the Big Ten to me.
So to start the year,
I got it right here. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, to start the year, they play a whole bunch of nobodies. Some
San Jose State win, Fresno State win, Louisiana a win, Rutgers a win. They're going to be 1-2. They'll be 4-0. Then they host Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to beat Oregon.
That'll be the first test.
And then the following week, They host the Washington Ducks, who are not the same old Washington Huskies. Well, the Ducks are, they face the Ducks and the Huskies.
Yeah.
Washington Huskies, excuse me. I don't trust.
Don't tell Brandon.
I know, I just, sorry, Brandon. I don't trust Washington, and USC should win that game. Then it gets a little tougher. They hit the road to play at Pennsylvania State.
Mm-hmm.
They should beat Penn State because Dan Campbell is the new head coach. I really like Dan Campbell. He did a good job at Iowa State. He's at Penn State, but Penn State doesn't have a quarterback. I think USC has a fighting chance to win there. Then they go to Wisconsin. They should win at Camp Randall Stadium. You'd think that.
Yeah. This might be the fight for Luke Fickell's job.
Yeah,
coming into that game.
Sure.
Though.
And then as we start on Halloween, USC will host Ohio State on Halloween.
I don't like that they're not playing Notre Dame. That kind of makes
me
mad.
That's always the truth. That's the screwy deal. So I don't think they beat Ohio State. They play the following. Well, they get a week off. Then they go to Indiana, where it's going to probably be cold, November 14th.
Yep.
Can they beat Indiana? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Then they get Maryland and UCLA to end the season. They should win, too. So 3 losses. It's going to be, looks like, a 9-3 team, and they'll just be begging and pleading to get into the.
I mean, but you could also swing two or three of those games just as easily. So,
yeah.
I mean, they could either, 9-3, I don't think they'll make the playoffs that way. Even though if they only lose to, Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, it's top three, but I don't think with the Big Ten, I don't think that already probably going to get the three teams in with Oregon, Ohio State, and Indiana. I don't know how deep they're going to have the Big Ten in the playoffs this year.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. But if they lose, one more game, just as any other team, they're not getting into the playoffs with 4 losses.
No, they're not going to get in with 4 losses. Remember, Texas did get in last year with three losses.
Yeah, and now Notre Dame takes up a spot because they're basically guaranteed a spot as long as they don't lose to somebody they shouldn't lose to.
And they're going to get in. They're going to get in. And Trey, I think Lincoln Riley would say, whew, we don't have to play Notre Dame. They get to play Louisiana and Fresno State.
I think that's what's going to help them because I genuinely think they had a great class this year and they added that wide receiver from NC State. So I think that they can offensively, they're never a question offensively. It's just going to be a matter of what they can do on the other side of the ball. But I think they could maybe push to make a playoff, make the playoffs.
I think they'd have to be the fourth team because I think Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana more than likely will all go. They'd have to be number four if
probably
the CFP is that generous. Then at number five are the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan, interesting team. They should be better. I love Kyle Whittingham.
Mm-hmm.
Their young quarterback's going to mature. They're going to learn a lot about their team in week number two. The same day Texas plays Ohio State, Oklahoma's got to go to the Big House and play it. And we've already got a bet. I think I wish I wouldn't have done this because after reading more about Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma's going to win that game. But it's at the Big House. And then, they've got to play. They host Penn State and Indiana. Then they get Rutgers and Michigan State. They got to play at Oregon. And then, of course, the closing game against Ohio State. I don't know if they're not going to make the playoffs. Now, they're number five. Penn State, number six. Washington, number seven. Iowa is number eight. And Illinois, number nine. Brett Bielema, my man, Brett Bielema, who met his wife at a crap table in Las Vegas. It's a wonderful love story. Here at number
Brett
nine.
Bielema is kind of an interesting
character. I love the guy. He's the everyman out
there. Is he the guy that said, I'm going to crack open a cold beer?
That was Cignetti.
Yeah,
but,
Cignetti.
And yeah. Iowa, Kurt Ferentz in his 85th year. I heard him on the College Football Network today at Big
I'm surprised
Big Ten.
He's still around.
He said on the air today, he said he feels great. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
He's much like Mack Brown. I think he's much beloved. He's a very good coach.
Always gets a good tight end.
Yeah, but they
definitely
never play offense there. They only get the tight end.
That's true.
Yeah. So that is the Big Ten preseason poll. And Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, USC, and Michigan, the top five.
I think it comes down to one of those three, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana. It's going to be hard to beat those three.
Let me ask you both. I think we probably have SEC bias, but who's the better top five in the conference? Is it Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, USC, and Michigan, or is it Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, A&M, and LSU. I go SEC all the way.
Yeah, I think it's pretty even for the – I mean, the top three, obviously, in the Big Ten is going to be in the top five in the nation total. But once you get to USC and Michigan, those are two big teams with question marks, whereas – A&M, they've locked and reloaded. You know that if they're the third or fourth best team in the league, they're going to be ready to play, and they're going to be better than USC and probably Michigan by most likely than Michigan. And I mean, I think that we'll see. We'll probably have that answered for us once Texas and Ohio State play,
yeah.
And when
Michigan,
Oklahoma
home,
and Michigan play, we'll have an answer pretty clear after that. But I do think the top to bottom, top five, definitely the SEC, but the top three, they have a higher ceiling, I believe, than the SEC.
Hey, we're going to take
Kyle.
Pardon me?
I'm with Kyle on that.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the Big Ten, you see the results.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Until they get knocked off their throne, the top three of the Big Ten is going to be the premier until the SEC proves otherwise.
As we go to break, join us live from Lake LBJ Saturday at 2 o'clock as ESPN broadcasts from the Wake Point Open in Kingsland. Hang out on the beach for Texas' biggest wakeboarding weekend featuring world champions, top riders, the $25,000 winner, take it all shootout, plus live music, food, drinks, and fireworks. Admission is free, and there's a free shuttle from Wake Point if you're not arriving by boat. See you this Saturday at the Wake Point Open. Learn more at wakepointopen.com. Back with some NFL talk. We just got some breaking news about the Packers. Not so bueno. We'll explain after this timeout.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
All right, we got a lot of NFL to talk about. We're going to split it up. We're going to talk NFL now. Then at 5 o'clock, we're going to visit with our friend Tommy Morrison, the Longhorn golfer who won on the Korn Ferry Tour and only his fourth tournament. We're going to talk to Tommy, who's preparing for the Utah Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour at 5 o'clock. But some NFL news right now. Micah Parsons, this is bad news for you Packer fans. The Packers placed five players on the active PUP list on Tuesday, unable to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So Micah Parsons is on that list. That means players on the active injury list still count against the 90-man roster and can come off anytime once they pass the physical. If still on the list by roster cutdowns, they must miss the first four games. This is the first step for Parsons, starting the season on the PUP list, as had been expected for months, as he rehabs from a torn ACL. He'll make his 2026 debut sometime after the first four games. Well, Jerry Jones was a smart man. So after all that stuff about Jerry Jones trading Micah Parsons,
can't stay healthy.
No, that's tough because they need him. They need him automatically.
Yeah, he is pretty much the focal point. They lost some players, I think. So
Cowboys traded Parsons to the Packers for Kenny Clark and two first-round picks before the 2025 season. Packers handed Parsons a four-year, $186 million extension, helping him under team control through 2019. Another defensive lineman today. This proves, ladies and gentlemen, and Jeff talks about this, the NFL doesn't care. They don't care about you. They don't care the type of person you are. If you have Jeff always likes to say, if you have a headless body in the back of your car, they'll still keep you to your contract. Remember last year at the first game of the year for the Dallas Cowboys when they faced the Philadelphia Eagles? And I believe it was the first play of the year or before the first play.
Yeah, literally. Right after the kickoff, they were walking out to spot the ball for the first time.
And Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter spat in the face of Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
He got kicked out of the game and, you know,
apparently Dak spat first.
Well, that's
at the ground.
At the ground.
Yeah.
But Jalen Carter spat, caught Dak. People wanted him kicked out of the leagues. What a crumb bum. What a gangster. All that stuff. He is a gangster because he had a much publicized, and this is tragedy, he was in a drag racing accident in Athens, Georgia after their national championship party. and his actions in a drag race where he was driving directly led to the death of two people from the athletic department of Georgia. And he got by that. He's a real controversial guy, but it doesn't matter. Today, the Eagles agreed to a four-year, $152 million extension for Jalen Carter. He'll be with the Eagles through 2031. He's now going to be the richest defensive tackle in pro football at $38 million. They don't care. And I think all three of us agree he's a hell of a football player.
Yeah, Trey was saying it before the show that he's probably, and I agree with him, he's probably the best defensive tackle in the game right now. And, I mean, he is paid that way, and I believe he is as well. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You think he's changed his ways since the terrible traffic accident where two of his friends were killed, or when he spat in the face of, or is it just he's a football player, he's tough,
I don't know the raw guy. I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure he's a raw individual, and he just kind of does what he wants to do. I don't know the guy, so I don't have any personal comments on the way he acts. But, yeah, with this contract, hopefully he settles down a little bit, because that money is important to him and his family for the rest of his life and the rest of their lives.
And the rest of their kids' kids' life at the tune of,
so if
$38 million a year.
If he ruins something, it's going to go down the toilet, and you don't want to do that.
This guy, you know, I guess they could have kicked him out of the league, which they shouldn't for spitting on somebody, because there's far worse things during a football game when people get spat upon, or they grab the privates, or they do some crazy stuff, or the cheap hits. But man, oh man, you would hope this guy would kind of turn the corner and get a little mature and say, I'm not going to race drag race cars, I'm not going to spit on any players. I'm going to go tackle the quarterback. I'm going to go stop the run game. So that's the news from Philadelphia today. Also, news from the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers said unequivocally, there's no debate about this, he's in his final season as quarterback for your Pittsburgh Steelers. He signed a $22 million one-year deal with Mike McCarthy and the new regime at Pittsburgh. And he said, what was he talking about? His wife today,
yeah,
fellas?
His wife that doesn't go here, that we've never seen.
Brittany's her name, I heard.
Brittany.
What's it?
With
deal?
An I. Brittany with an I.
What is it with these quarterbacks and Brittany's? They like, you know, Mahomes' wife is named Brittany. But no, we've never seen her. But and what did he say?
He said she gave him permission to play his final season, to play one more year. So,
well, I bet Brittany's saying, $22 million? She's got skin in that game. So that's the news from Aaron Rodgers. Also, interesting story from Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, the former Lake Travis star, Oklahoma Sooner, a cup of coffee with the Texas Tech Red Raiders, will play his 2026 season without a contract. He'll become a free agent in March. I think this may be a little dicey for him, because I am in the camp of I don't think that Tampa Bay is going to be as good as they were last year.
Yeah, Vita Vea just requested a trade, too, yesterday. Which that's a sinking ship.
Probably means, there's something going on in the locker room that only the players know about right now. But it's going to show as soon as the season starts.
Okay, look at my face, guy. Who am I imitating here? Look over here. Todd Bowles. Head coach.
he's on the hot seat.
The man could be in a hurricane. He'd have the same impression. Nothing.
They played great. They started the year off great, but I don't know. They've lost Mike Evans, probably the greatest receiver they've ever had.
He'll be a Hall of Famer, and he's not there.
So I actually have something real quick that dropped like literally 5-10 minutes ago.
Okay.
So we've known the past couple of days that Robert Kraft wanted to make Christian Gonzalez the highest paid cornerback of all time. But instead, the Browns have actually made the jump on that and have gone ahead and signed Denzel Ward to a two-year, $62.2 million extension, making him the highest paid defensive back in NFL history.
Wow.
So that's happened in the last 10, 15 minutes or so. So big news out of the Browns. I don't know where they have the money for that, especially with what they're paying Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, all their quarterbacks.
But they have the highest paid defensive back of all time now. So
okay. That's not going to last very long, no. though, because they're going to pay Patrick Surtain and Derek Stingley are going to get massive.
They're going to get big money.
I think this is just to set the baseline for the rest of the cornerbacks and the rest this year.
That's good for those two.
Yeah. You think? I think it's really good for those two. All right, we're going to take a break. After this break, we're going to visit with Tommy Morrison, the former Longhorn golfer. Then after Tommy, we're going to talk and hear from the man they call Jerry Jones. Cowboys open training camp today out in California. Back with more on 102.7 ESPN right after these.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.